What is up, gang? Welcome back to the Founders Journal. Me and Sid are switching it up this week, switching roles. Usually she gives you the intro, but today you got me. So if you're new to the Founders Journal, I'm Colin, and this is a place where young entrepreneurs come to talk about business and help each other learn by sharing their stories. Sid, what is going on?
Not much. Today was a busy day. I dropped my newest jewelry collection, so busy packaging orders and just answering questions. But other than that, spent some good time outside with some friends. I think we should make this a competition. So everyone, make sure you vote when we put a poll up on Insta of who's better at the intros.
Yeah, who's better at the intro? Me and Sid are competitive people. Like, we want to know who's better. But by the way, that's sick you dropped your collection today. Like, what it do with Hippie Do You? Did it go well or what?
It do be good, though.
do be good, though.
Yeah, it went really well. It was super cool. On Shopify, you can see the amount of, like, visitors that are on the site at a certain time. So when I launched it, I could see, like, where everyone was in the U.S. or, like, international viewing the website and, like, how many people. And if a sale goes through, it, like, drops a pin. It's kind of, like, an epic display of, like, you know, live viewership. So that was sick.
I can see you watching that all day long, like it's TV. Like, honestly,
no, I was watching it, and then I was like, you know what? I should probably not, because it's going to be like deja vu. Like, if I keep watching it, then no orders are going to come in. So I stopped and started packaging.
Solid point. All right, well, let's get into it. I think some people are waiting to hear who wins a giveaway this week. The Founders Journal giveaway was for either a little Alexa or a Roku. It was your choice. And our winner is Grace Brown. Yeah, Grace Brown, you have won your choice at either or. So shoot us a DM and we will be sure to get that to you ASAP.
Yeah, thank you to everyone that entered. We thought this was a super fun way to just, you know, display more on Instagram, the Founders Journal podcast, what we're about, and do a fun little giveaway. It was Colin's idea, the two things we were giving away, the either or. So Grace, you get your choice of one of these options.
Yeah, I hope you like them. But anyways, Sid, let's get into this week's story.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay. Today, we're going to be talking to a group of girls from Minnesota that started their own business the day after they graduated college, and their business is just a little over 2 years old. So some super fun stats on their company. They had 100 people come to their first event with their oatmeal alone. They have sold over 200 bowls, and they are the only oatmeal company in Minnesota, which I think is pretty crazy. So welcome the girls from Mini Oats.
Hi, thanks for having us. This is Annie.
Hey guys, this is Maria.
Hello, this is Allie.
All right guys, we're so excited that you're here taking the time to tell your story and hear all about oatmeal.
Great, yeah, so Mini Oats is an oatmeal company. We create specialty bowls of oatmeal, so we've kind of taken a twist on the old breakfast classic, given it a little bit of a revamp. So we do all kinds of fun toppings, offer different specialty and signature bowls, and then we also create packaged goods, granola, and different products of that nature. And we started out of our college apartment at the University of Minnesota, and we're still growing across Minneapolis, popping up at different events. Just had our hearts and our lives completely changed by the love of God, and that was something that we wanted to share with more people. And one of the ways that, one of our most favorite ways, honestly, that we've experienced that is through community and just people being together and getting to know each other and connecting. And so we started to think about, you know, how can we create some of that? How can we create an environment to bring people in and to love them and serve them? And we really just felt that super, super strongly on our hearts. And then we also knew that we had this passion for food and being creative and all those different things. And so it was actually when the three of us were studying abroad. So I was in England for a semester, and then Allie and Maria were in Florence, and we got to kind of bop around Europe and travel together, which was a super good experience, super fun. And on these travels, we had so many hours together on the trains and planes and walking miles and miles. I think one day in London we walked like 18 miles or something wild. But through all this time and conversations is when the idea for Mini Oats was really started. We started to move just beyond, you know, we want to gather and serve people and we love food, to, gosh, what if we could combine those and actually create something out of it? And oatmeal was, surprisingly for a lot of people, when we talk about this, but oatmeal was top of mind. We're all big oatmeal people, starting off almost every single morning with it. We usually would have coffee and oats. That was just standard way to start the day. On our travels, that was what was packed in our bags. And so we just absolutely loved oatmeal. And when we were traveling, we actually, we spent some time in Dublin, Ireland, and we found this like dinky little falafel shop, and we posted up for probably 3 or 4 hours and just had this conversation that we'll never forget. It was when we all really expressed and started to be on the same page of we're gonna do something together, and we're gonna make this commitment to each other and to the Lord too. And so we actually took out the GoPro and we took out our GoPro and we videoed our verbal commitments to starting an oatmeal business when we returned to Minnesota and graduated college. And so we still have that in the archives. It's fun to remember and to think about. And even just earlier this week when I was digging through our Google Drive, I came across meeting notes from an 8 a.m. meeting that we had at a hostel in Lisbon. And we were putting together our slogan, and we had this list of slogans in a Word document. And From Bowl to Soul, which is our slogan today, was on that list. And we had our vision and our mission and our values, much of which is the same. So even though our business has developed, we can kind of look back to those roots, and it's pretty cool to see that that has kind of maintained through all that. But after we came back from being abroad, we had a semester of college left, and that was when we actually kind of moved into full-blown product testing and ideation. We knew how to make oatmeal, but we wanted to perfect it and really handcraft these bowls and develop different recipes and flavor combinations that we felt were unique and innovative. And one of our biggest goals was to transform the non-oatmeal eater into an oatmeal eater by trying one of our bowls. It was actually the day after we graduated from college in December of 2017 that we launched the business, which really was just, it was starting off our social media, our Instagram account. We posted a couple photos of bowls that we had created. It was probably before shot on iPhone was a cool thing, cool marketing campaign, but we posted those photos and pretty quickly had a following, had people really interested. We did the next natural step with that was transforming our apartment into a cafe. So we started hosting what we called open hours, and we would post on our Instagram, and we would have our apartment open for 2 or 3 hours once or twice a week. And we invited students. We actually had checked with our landlords, disclaimer there, we did check to make sure that it was okay that we were having people over for oatmeal. And we ended up passing out flyers under people's doors and just inviting the whole entire building to come to our apartment for oatmeal. And honestly, we didn't know what we didn't know, so we had no idea if it was going to be big or small. And pretty quickly, we had lines out the door, and we would open our door at 8 a.m., and I remember the first time opening the door and seeing 3 people lined up, which is not that many, but when you're hosting open hours at a makeshift cafe out of your apartment, feels pretty crazy. It feels like, wow, we might have something here. And from there, you know, we'd repeat customers, we'd people bringing their parents, and we ended up having an apartment oftentimes full of people. We didn't even know everybody. We had 2 signature bowls when we first started out. This bowl is bananas, which is a peanut butter and banana based, and then Oh Hot Jam, which is a kind of a PB&J, do a homemade mixed berry compote. All of our bowls are topped off with our maple almond granola and a honey drizzle. And those were the first two bowls that we sold. And then we had a third apple-based bowl that we wanted to launch. And this was in 2018. So this is when the Super Bowl was in Minneapolis. So we thought it would be super fun to have a Super Bowl party to launch our third signature bowl, which remains to this day named the Cineapolis. It was so great. We just wanted to get people in the door. And it was a couple days after that our landlords came and knocked on our door and super respectfully told us that we can't continue to have a cafe in our apartment. But they also told us, they said, you know, don't let this be the part of your business's story where the landlord came in and put down their fists and said, you know, no more mini oats. This is where it ends. They were extremely supportive and they loved our oatmeal. We would always bring them a bowl when we had our events. And so they really encouraged us to continue on, just not under their roof. And so we had to kind of pivot our approach, which is where we're at right now, honestly. So we shifted to being a company that pops up and does catering all across Minneapolis. So that's looked like a lot of collaborations with local companies. I mean, it's been super fun for us. And to look back to that time in that falafel shop in Ireland and that commitment that we've made. And I remember we said, you know, as long as we have reason to believe that there could be something here and we trust that God is guiding us and we're enjoying it and we're serving more people, you know, we're going to keep trying to move this forward. And whether it becomes a big thing or not, we don't know, but we want to continue on with it. And so that's where things are today.
I think it's crazy that you guys can track back through all your development of your company. You know, you're talking about all those Google Docs and you're talking about like meeting in that coffee shop and stuff. So a lot of people can't say that. And I think that is really seen in your company because just from like your social media platforms, it's all super organized, especially like your marketing. It just seems like, you know, your company is very like solidified and whole, which is like really, really cool that you guys are already there because it takes companies a really long time to do that. So after hearing your story, what did your process look like to have everyone in your apartment? Because I know Minneapolis apartments are not big by any means. And like, how did you prepare for like an unknown amount of people? How did you charge people?
From the beginning, we had to be very strategic on how we invited people into our apartment. And it looked like creating private events and, you know, putting in mailers into only people in our apartment's doors to kind of make sure that we could curate the amount of people that would be coming, but also to make sure that we knew who they were. But really, we had no idea how many people were going to show up. So to see 50 to 100 people in our apartment, that was pretty unexpected. And if you've been to our apartment at the U of M, you know that it definitely was not well-seated. Like, people were crammed, but it kind of was just all part of the experience, and I think people really enjoyed it, and it was a lot of energy and a lot of fun to see that many people enjoying your oatmeal inside of your apartment.
Gotcha. Can I have two quick questions. I want to know first how you were charging people for their oatmeal when they came into the apartment and how like people paid for it. And then two, can you guys walk us through, I know the food industry, there's a lot of different stuff that makes you a profitable company. Can you walk through how you guys were able to figure out profitability of buying your products for an unknown amount of people and how you turn that kind of into something that you were able to call a successful business and
totally
and make
yeah profit. This is Allie. To answer your first question, that we would, you know, price out a bowl as best as we could. And I think one of the hardest parts with a product that we offer in like so many different varieties, it's like, okay, when we do one grind of pink Himalayan sea salt, like how much are we adding to each bowl? And so things like that become super precise, but we get it to a certain level and we just charge people $5 and $6 a bowl, depending on, we kind of have our basic bowl of this bowl is bananas as our $5 bowl. We're like, we want people to be able to get a breakfast at that price. And so it really looked like a lot of Excel spreadsheets pricing everything out. And we were buying things in bulk and still are, but it's from Costco. Like, we weren't doing any big, you know, pallet drop off at our apartment. We had very limited space for, it really was kind of navigating trial and error, but resting on the fact that we did understand like where our profit margin was, and it was good, so it allowed us to have a little bit of flexibility early on.
Yeah, I definitely personally relate to the, like, when you're talking about the salt and just being like, it's so like precise and like, you know, if one grain of salt or whatever, because like with my jewelry business, like if one little jump ring, like, you know, disappears, I'm like, okay, how do you like account for that? So definitely with the accounting and profitability margin and stuff, I definitely relate to that. So many like businesses don't have like a ton of different owners, but it's you three. So how has it been, you know, managing a business with three different people with like different views on things? How has that been and like flowing?
I would say that it has been super helpful that the three of us are friends first. And yeah, we're business partners today, but our friendship does always come first. And we know that we're a business and that we have goals and we want to, you know, see this dream become a reality. But it's all so much fun. And that might sound cliche or, you know, don't you guys argue or disagree or those kinds of things. But when we're all moving towards the same thing and our heart is really to serve people, we all share that same heart. We're all on the same page with that. And I would say we're open communicators. And so we honestly have a ton of fun, and I can't imagine having a business with anybody else. I can't imagine having a business with someone that I wasn't friends with, certainly. I mean, people do it all the time, but I've just enjoyed so much having best friends and business partners. I don't know.
Yeah, this is Maria. I think another best practice when you have a business with people that you're friends with, and in this case, we live with each other. So we could really be eating, breathing, sleeping mini oats at all times to have very good boundaries on what the communication looks like with your business and what working on it looks like. Because if you could be working on it 24/7, which is a good thing to always have your mind running with new ideas and new ways to grow your business, but I think it can be really detrimental to a friendship if you're always talking about it, because it lends itself to being burnt out, and we don't want to burn each other out. We want to continue to stay fresh and excited about the business. So I think having really good boundaries about when you're working on the business and when you're talking about it and when it's we're roommates or we're friends is really helpful.
My question for you guys is, do you think it's more beneficial? I mean, like, so you guys went abroad as seniors or juniors?
As juniors.
As juniors. So you went spring of junior year.
Mm-hmm.
And then you took an entire year to product, develop, and then released when you graduated college.
Correct. Yep.
Correct. So do you kind of wish you would have started the actual business while you were in college, so to speak? Or, I mean, like, obviously I know as a food industry, you really need time to product develop. I mean, that is the most important thing in your business is how it tastes and everything. But do you wish you would have maybe solidified it a little earlier to where you wouldn't have came out with those jobs? Or, I mean, don't change anything for the world? I mean,
yeah, I think one of the biggest things, especially knowing we all three were in a unique situation where we were graduating from college a semester early. And so thankfully we were able to still be on campus, but we knew our time was shorter than the average person. And so just thinking about, you know, being at a Division I school where there's a football season and being in classes where it's our last time with some of these classmates, like, I think that aspect of how much we like all thoroughly like loved college and so many of the like social engagements, it made it, I think looking back, it's like, okay, it could have been really cool if we would have started, you know, that semester, that first fall back, but to be able to be in our apartment and have like the product development going on while we were all together in the same apartment, because that summer we were all living apart. So it just kind of naturally lended itself to a good, almost like incubation time period of, we had people on campus that could sample it. People knew it was in the works. We had friends helping us with designing the logo. I think there were a lot of elements where we needed that time.
And I would add too, that there was so much value in our time in our full-time jobs, and Allie and I are still in our full-time jobs, but what we learned from a business perspective working full-time in marketing, media buying, and then merchandising, we use that in our business. We didn't go to school for finance or any of those things, but in all of our jobs, our full-time jobs that we had out of school, we got to learn a lot of those skills, and we got to see kind of end-to-end how to run a business, what's important, how just the different things to consider, where I think if we would have gone, and we had conversations when we were graduating, we weren't necessarily sure. And so I think, like, I would encourage, it's a two-sided coin. You could kind of dive right in and go for it 100%, but don't discount the value of what you could learn at a full-time job. And also know that it's short, it can be short-term. You know, you're not stuck in it, but I do not think our business would be nearly where it is if we didn't have that full-time experience to kind of fuel our side gig, if you will. The food industry is tricky, and there's a lot of licensing and certifications and obstacles and hoops to jump through to be able to get your product into different places. And so that was something where we didn't anticipate how many steps we had to go through to get there. And we're still going through some of those steps. And so apart from knowing that we needed to be food safety certified and trained on a few things, now we're working through nutrition label and commercial kitchen space, vendor licensing, all these different paths. And there's specific rules per state that we have to adhere to and that we are excited to adhere to. And I would say it is a bit of an uncharted territory. There's a lot of resources, but there's not necessarily someone that's you can sit down with and they'll say, this is where you're at today. You want to get here. Here's the 10 steps you have to take, and here's the person at each step to help you. It's a big time collaboration of different resources and people helping you. It's not clear cut. And I guess everything I'd seen in business school and in my corporate job is, it's pretty clear cut. You know where to go. You know what to do. You know exactly the certification you need. And we're kind of starting at ground zero and having to build from there. And so that's an ongoing learnings for us that right out of the gate when we were out of our apartment, we had no idea, you know, so.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point to hit on, that a lot of people that are starting a business, they actually don't know the full things of their legalities, and figuring out how to determine those is actually really hard. You know, like, I didn't know exactly what I had to do and the certifications I had to get before I even got going. So I think something like that is an interesting point. So I want to ask, if someone was trying to get into the food industry, what's the first step they're taking to being legal? What's something that they have to look at in order to make sure that they're abiding by the guidelines?
The first thing that you need to do is become food safety certified. So that is something that I actually did recently. You go through a course, it's an 8-hour class, and then you take a test, and now you're food safety certified and you have a license, which means that you know the rules and regulations to operate in a commercial kitchen space safely. So that's the first step. And then second step, depending on what kind of product you are making, in our case, it would be acquiring commercial kitchen space. So we have to prepare our product out of a Minnesota Health Department certified kitchen to ensure the quality is there, and also that we're providing a safe product to our consumer. So that is actually the process that we are going through right now. Our business has scaled to the point where it warrants moving into a commercial kitchen space. So that's kind of the next step. And then after that, it is going through the FDA regulations. In our case, we have a packaged product. So getting a nutrition label and figuring out what exactly has to be on the packaging so that it is legal to be sold on a grocery store shelf or a fitness studio or basically anywhere. There are certain regulations that you have to have. And I think not a lot of people know about that. And there are a lot of loops that you have to jump through in order to get all of those things to kind of meet at a point where you are, where you now have a packaged product that you can sell that you made out of a commercial kitchen space and you are certified to do so.
Yeah, kind of funny. I told my sister about your guys' company and how you're all about oatmeal, and she's like an oatmeal fiend. Like, she has like 2 bowls of oatmeal a day, and she'll like dress it all up. And I was like showing her like your website of all the different bowls you guys have, and she was like, oh my gosh, this looks so good. So whenever you guys have another event, we'll definitely have to stop by. But on that topic of events, Maria, you mentioned going to like a state licensed kitchen, which I know nothing about because I don't have a food business and don't really know anyone that has a food business. But to go along with that, how do you prepare for an event like with the kitchen? Like, do you have to like go to the kitchen, schedule it, and then how do you like prepare all the bowls for the event to be delivered?
So we are working on acquiring commercial kitchen space. So that's something that we're acquiring right now and working through the logistics of it. Previously, we had been covered under a different license, under a homemade product license, where we could, you know, really just invite people in and provide them with our product, much like if you had someone over for dinner. That was kind of the way that we were doing things. So now that our business has scaled and we want to be doing more public facing events where we don't have to limit the amount of people that are coming and we don't have to necessarily know the people that are coming, we want to transition into that commercial kitchen space and, you know, be offering it and creating it in the kitchen and then taking it to the event. We're working on a cart right now, which we will be using at our events and popping up. So we'll have a very cohesive branded look, and we will be taking all the stuff that we make in the kitchen to the cart and then be public facing all around the Twin Cities.
Dang, super cool. So with all this time during quarantine, I'm sure you guys have had a lot of time to reflect on your business goals and the future and all that. So where do you guys see your business going? What's the end goal? I know you guys mentioned a cafe, which I think sounds amazing.
Yeah, so thinking about where Mini Oats would go is very exciting for all of us. Just recounting what we've done in the past 2 years gives me, and I think I can speak for Allie and Annie as well, a lot of excitement for where the next 5 to 10 years could be. And ultimately, you know, a lot of things have changed with the business, but our core foundational beliefs and our goal of having a cafe and having Minneapolis's first oatmeal cafe has always remained constant. And it's really the vision behind everything that we do. We want to gather people. We want to serve them, love them, and build lasting relationships with our customers. We really feel that what differentiates one startup from the next is having a great customer experience and brand experience. And that's what we seek to embody in our cafe. So our apartment was kind of like our first pass at what having a cafe would look like, you know, welcoming people in, making them feel different than when they walked out, and not just because of the oatmeal. We always talk about how oatmeal has just been the vessel. Like, we are really in the business of serving people, and oatmeal has been the vehicle that God has given us to build relationships with people. So yes, cafe is definitely our ultimate goal, but we're kind of doing a few different things before we get to that point, which is pop-up events and packaged goods. So as I kind of mentioned, we're working on building a cart to have a more cohesive, unified look and brand presence at our events and just giving people the chance to try our oatmeal and try our product in a more public-facing way. With everything that's going on in the world right now, we've had to cancel a lot of our events and reschedule them, but we will be ramping up again in the next couple months, hopefully the next couple of months, to continue to bring oatmeal to people. So that's something that we're really excited about because we love engaging with customers and hearing their feedback and kind of product developing based on how customers are responding to our product. And we've really used our pop-ups as a test market. For one instance, our granola, customers have repeatedly voiced interest in our homemade maple almond granola that tops each of our bowls. So this is one of the products that we're really focused on packaging right now and actively working on making it available for purchase on our website. And then hopefully in the future, people can be purchasing at their local cafes and local coffee shops. And the oat is a really fun product development ingredient. I think creating new flavor combinations and putting fun toppings, weird toppings, is really fun and creative for all of us. It's almost like an art form. So we're going to continue to build new recipes, build new bowls, and continue to expand our packaged good line as like an extension of our business.
Yeah, that's a really good ending point. Just encourage all the listeners out there that, you know, it's not glamorous and it doesn't happen overnight. For almost everyone, it doesn't happen overnight. But some people are lucky. But it was truly amazing talking with you girls. I know I learned a lot.
Yeah, I did too. Keep grinding, man. You guys are a driven unit, you know, all three of you together. It's interesting to see that someone, you know, you guys are a team, and we don't see that very often. So keep going. If you guys are, if people are interested in trying your oatmeal, I hope they reach out and, you know, give you guys a follow and continue on. I can't wait to see where you guys end up.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Thank you. We love what you're doing.
Thank you guys.
Thank you guys for tuning into our fourth journal entry. We hope you guys enjoyed this week. I know I definitely enjoyed getting to know a little bit about the food industry and how things work. It's something that I honestly knew nothing about, but I definitely took some ideas and maybe roll with it in the future. If you're listening, be sure to continue to give us feedback, post it, share it, help our podcast grow. Just a thought. We love giving back. We love to talk about business. So if you can help us grow, that'd be huge.
Yes, I know. I love today's episode. Really great insight into the food industry, but I'm super stoked for next week's episode. Also, we're chatting with a Colorado photographer who's 22 and grew her business $0 to over six figures in just 2 years. So she has amazing insight. So if you ever have an inkling to get into photography, this is an episode you do not want to miss out.
Yeah, I would say she's very legit. But we will see you next Monday.
Yeah, see you guys next Monday. Peace.
What? You stole my line.